सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनीनां मध्ये महाभारतम्। अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः। ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। Hari Om, my humble pranams to all. Today we are starting the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita called Daivi Asura Sampatti, Divine and Devilish Estates. Last week we had done the introduction of this chapter, and Bhagavan Sri Krishna is in the last three chapters, 16, 17, and 18, tying up some loose ends, some points that he felt needed more explanation. Like the basic teaching of Bhagavad Gita, according to scholars, finishes in the 15th chapter, but 16, 17, 18 are additional information and summary and expansion on these particular chapter. So, for example, in the 9th chapter, Bhagavan had talked about Moghasha, Mogha Karmana, people who are Asuri, you know, of Asuri nature, how they function very briefly. And this is expanded more in this chapter. And then he had said, Mahatma Nastu Mam Partha, Daivim Prakritim Ashritaha. So the Mahatmas, how they function. So if we want to know how Mahatmas function, and how people of daivic qualities function, then 16th chapter is a good one. And it's a very practical chapter, because very detailed instructions Bhagavan Sri Krishna has given, especially about the asuric, the daivi he has done in the first three verses. And the rest of the chapter talks about asuri, because that is the majority of the people in the world have, to some extent or the other, asuric qualities. Some have more, some have less. Of course, not that every people are purely daivi or purely asuric. Everybody has a mixture of both. We have mixture of daivi qualities and asuri qualities. Everybody has. The question is what proportion? And by studying this chapter, how can I increase my Daivi qualities and reduce my Asuri qualities? So that is explained in this particular chapter. And that is how we should study this chapter, that this is something given to Arjuna, but through Arjuna, Bhagwan is talking to me. And so what we can do is make a list of these Daivi qualities and then check off and see how many I have. And if I don't have, how I can develop. And if I have, how can I increase them? And then same way, we can make a list of the Asuri qualities and how the Asuri people function. And if I have those, how I can reduce them. So Bhagwan divides beings into three: Daiva, which are divinely good, Daivic qualities, people who have divine qualities, then those who are fallen from this path, which he calls Asuras, diabolically fallen, who have fallen from this good path. And so this chapter is addressed to the first two groups, the Daivi and the Asuri. There is a third group which has been mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita called Rakshasas. And Rakshasas are people who are so evil that they are incorrigibly wicked. They cannot be corrected by knowledge. And Bhagavan says such people, what will happen to them? They will suffer the consequences of their karmas. So those who are cannot be corrected, incorrigibly wicked, such people, karma will correct them. They will go through the karmic problems, faults, difficulties, and then automatically, slowly, they will improve. So knowledge alone is not enough. It's like somebody, you know, you can correct him by words, but other people have to get harsher treatment to correct them. So here Bhagwan says, I don't do anything. It is their own karmas who give them enough sorrow, where then they say, oh, I need an escape from this sorrow. And that's when they go to a guru and get this knowledge. So today we'll begin the 16th chapter. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha.
Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha.
Atha Shodasho Dhyayah. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhihi.
Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhihi.
Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi.
Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi.
Danam Damascha Yajnascha.
Danam Damascha Yajnascha.
Swadhyayastapa Arjavam.
Swadhyayastapa Arjavam.
You can please mute, we'll all chant together. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhihi. Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi. Danam Damascha Yajnascha. Swadhyayastapa Arjavam. So Bhagwan is listing in the first three chapters all the divine qualities or Daivi qualities. In the first two shlokas, there is no verb. The verb appears only in the third shloka, Bhavanti. So these three are supposed to be chanted one after the other, and then in the third one appears the verb. So here in the divine qualities that we need to inculcate in us, Shri Bhagavan Uvach, the Lord says, Abhayam. Abhayam means fearlessness. What is fearlessness? We'll talk about that. Sattva Samshuddhi. Sattva, see, sattva does not need to be purified, but it is the antakarana. So Samshuddhi is purity of Antakarana. So why sattva word is used, we'll talk about that. So purity of the mind. Purity of the mind is sattva samshuddhihi. And jnana yoga vyavasthihi thitihi. Jnana means knowledge, yoga means establishment, firm steadiness, vyavasthitihi. In jnana and then yoga, knowledge and then the practice of that. So complete abidance in that is called jnana yoga vyavasthitihi. Then dhanam, dhanam is charity, giving. Then dhamma is control of the senses. Yajna is performing sacrifices, rituals, prayers. Swadhyaya, swadhyaya is self-study. Tapa is penance or austerities. And arjavam is straightforwardness. So these are the qualities. There are a lot of qualities because these have been covered in previous chapters. So Bhagwan is hastily doing them, but if you wish, you can write each one of them down on a piece of paper. That way we can see how many of these I have and to what extent. So Abhayam, so Sri Bhagavan Uvach, the Lord spoke. First is Abhayam, fearlessness. So Gurudev in his commentary says, fear comes from ignorance. When I don't know my nature as the Supreme Self, that is who I really am, and I think I am this body, mind, and intellect, then fear comes. If I know I am that Supreme Self, then everybody is that one. Everybody is, it's not only I am, but everybody, everything is that one consciousness. So when you see oneness, then there is nobody else to be fearful of. That's why they say fear only comes from another. There is somebody from whom I am afraid. People are not afraid of themselves, but they are afraid of others. So fear comes from others, from not knowing. Also, when I know I am that consciousness, even if somebody is hurting me physically, mentally, or intellectually, I have no fear because I know they cannot hurt me. Yes, my body can hurt, but that can heal. And that's why these Mahatmas, no matter how much they are persecuted by society, they fearlessly follow the path of towards God. No matter, and we see in the lives of all great saints, the society was so hard to them, but they were unbowed and nobody was able to take them away from the path. So they were fearless. Another meaning of Abhayam is not only being fearless myself, but not giving fear to others. So I may be fearless, but then I may be very hard on others. I may make them afraid of me, make them show my anger to them. We'll talk about anger later on. So not only I should be fearless myself, but I should make sure others do not fear me. So I should be kind, compassionate, and nice to others. So that's why it is says, fearlessness is for me and for others. Next is sattva samshuddhihi. That means purity of subtle body, mind, purity of mind. Now, why is Bhagwan using the word sattva in this? Because sattva is always pure. So why Bhagwan is using sattva samshuddhi? Because if you have read Tattva Bodh, or those of you who remember who are doing Thursday's class, in Tattva Bodh, there was a thing called Panchikrit, Apanchikrit, Panchamahabhutas. The five elements, before they were grossified, they were in their ungrossified state. And then they became the gross air and space and fire, water, earth. That which we can see and feel and perceive, that became visible to us. So I can, you know, taste water, I can see the earth, I can feel the air, I can touch the fire, and then space I'm aware of. So these unmanifested five elements became manifested by a process called Panchikritam. So these five elements combined in various proportions, it's a very detailed topic I can't go into today, but if you have Tattva Bodh, you can read that, and that will tell us how these five unmanifest became manifest. So the five elements that were unmanifest, the sattvic aspect of them became the subtle body, which is the mind, intellect, ego, and memory, mana, buddhi, chitta, ahankar. That became the sattvic aspect and the ability of the sense organs. That came from the sattvic aspect of these pancha mahabhutas. From the rajasic aspect came the ability to walk, talk, you know, do activity and pranas. So sattvic is knowledge. That's why the knowledge, the senses of knowledge and the mind and intellect. And rajas is activity. So the pranas and the organs of action came from rajas. And tamas is dull. Dull means it is doesn't do much. So our gross body came from the tamasic aspect. Not that our gross body is tamasic, but that's how this grossification happened. So sattvic became knowledge, rajasic became activity, and the tamasic aspect became our gross body. So when he says sattva samshuddhi, he means that part of the antakarana, the mind, which came from sattva. So purity of mind. And purity of mind, we know, what is that? Practicing values. When I reduce my anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, then such a person is said to be pure-minded. And substitute anger with love, hatred with compassion, and so on. So that is called sattva samshuddhi. So that's why they say for spiritual progress, we need purity of mind and clarity of knowledge. So purity of mind, we have talked about. Clarity of knowledge is the next value Bhagwan gives, which is jnana yoga vyavasthitihi. So jnana here means the correct knowledge that I have obtained from the scriptures and from the guru. So when I have the right knowledge and I have understood it correctly, listened with attention, then yoga means uniting with that knowledge and using that knowledge to unite with God. So not only obtaining the knowledge, but practicing it and bringing it into my life. And vyavasthiti, he means firm abidance, firm, not shaking from this knowledge. So whatever knowledge I have from the scriptures, not shaking from that, is called jnana yoga vyavasthiti. And the highest knowledge is that I am that consciousness, Atma Brahman, and connecting with that. That is yoga, connecting with the Lord within and the Lord outside. That is jnana yoga vyavasthitihi. Then dhanam. Dhanam is charity. Now charity can only come from a sense of abundance. If I feel I have enough, then I will share. If I feel no matter how much I have is not enough, I want more, 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 then I will not share. Sharing only comes when I feel I am thankful to Bhagwan for whatever he has given, and let me share that, whatever I have. That's why Gurudev says, what you have is his gift to you, and what you do with what you have is your gift to him. So I should not just only keep what I have received, but I should share it willingly. And share can be at many levels. It can be at the financial level. You know, if I have wealth, I share it. If I have time, I share time. I have time to help, so I go help somebody. Or if I have love, then I share my love with others. Somebody who is unhappy, somebody who is sad, maybe somebody who is in a nursing home, nobody visits. So I go visit them. Or I can share knowledge. Somebody has knowledge, but and then the sharing of knowledge. So that's why Gurudev called his Gita discourses as Gita Jnana Yajna. So that means offering the ignorance in the fire of knowledge. So sharing can be at multiple levels. Physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, all, you know, financial. But the what one should understand that whatever I had, everything have, everything belongs to Bhagwan. Nothing is mine anyway. Everything is his. He has given it to me to use. And I must share it with others. Not only my property, but even children, you know, to think that they are my property, that itself is a mistake. Bhagwan has given me the children to take care of them. I take care of them and I inculcate these values in their children. The highest dhanam that we see is in the, that we see in the Chinmaya mission, where parents give up their young men and, you know, young boys and girls in their 20s and who are given to the mission, who go there, they study for 2 years, they take sannyas, and then rest of their life, they serve the mission, spreading knowledge. Of course, Gurudev himself spent 43 years sharing. Swami Tejomayananda ji, who was head of the mission, Swami Swarupananda ji, Swami Ishwarananda ji, all these wonderful acharyas who have come to us and given us this knowledge, and whatever little we know is because of the contribution of these great teachers. Why? Because their parents gave up their children and said, gave up means they shared them with the mission. And they said, I share it with the whole world. Let these people become teachers. That is the biggest dhanam. That your own child, you think, oh, he should take care of me in old age, but the ability to sacrifice and say, okay, let this child of mine be of service to whole mankind is one of the greatest dhanam. So that's why they say dhanam can be at different levels. Dhamma is self-control, control of the senses, because we find that the senses very easily get diverted. Say I'm fasting today. Especially in India, you know, the neighbors find out you are fasting. Today is Ekadashi or whatever, Vrata, and I'm not supposed to eat. And what they will come and tell you, you know, today we have made pav bhaji and bhel puri. Oh, you are fasting, but it's okay. Come and try a little bit. So not to get distracted and know that if I have decided, and also not to let the senses overindulge, you know, seeing too much all the time, surfing the net, unnecessarily listening to gossip, you know, wasting time too much on the phone. So control of overeating, you know, all these. So control of all the senses is called dhamma. And senses should be under my control. I should not become a slave to the senses. Yajna is puja and, you know, doing the sacrifices, you know, when the priest does in the fire, he puts the offerings, that is yajna, sacrificing. So doing pujas, doing sacrifices for, you know, for my own benefit and for the benefit of society. That's why we say sarve bhavantu sukhina, may everybody be happy. And yajna is said to be at five kinds. One is Deva Yajna, our gratitude to the Devas, to the gods for giving us this world, and taking care of the environment is Deva Yajna. Then Rishi Yajna, the Rishis, the Mahatmas have given us these scriptures. So gratitude to them, gratitude in the form of studying the scriptures and sharing this knowledge, that is Rishi Yajna. Then Pitru Yajna is our gratitude to our parents, our ancestors, because of whom we are here, and practicing their values. Then Bhuta Yajna. Bhuta Yajna is taking care of all beings, animals, birds, plants, fish, taking care of all beings and taking care of not unnecessarily destroying the environment. And then fifth is Nara Yajna, is taking care of other human beings, like guests, you know, and people who are unfortunate. So this is yajna. Swadhyaya, swa-adhyaya means self-study. So swadhyaya has many meanings. One meaning is that daily doing some study of the Bhagavad Gita, of the scriptures, like we have covered 15 chapters, and today is the last class for until the end of July. So in these 2 or 2.5 months, daily study the Bhagavad Gita so that you can revise the 15 chapters. So that is called Swa-Adhyaya, daily study of the scriptures. It can be any others, but for Bhagavad Gita or any scriptures. Swa-Adhyaya also means that study myself as to what are my defects and constantly studying those, trying to eliminate them. Third meaning of Swa-Adhyaya is that studying the self, that I am that consciousness. So constant awareness and studying that and knowing that, and through the Upanishads, through Bhagavad Gita, abiding in that. So that is Swadhyaya. The fourth meaning of Swadhyaya is it should be Swadhyaya, not Para-Adhyaya. Because what we do, we are very good at analyzing others. You know, he has this fault. He doesn't have these values in the Bhagavad Gita. He has this defect, that the purpose of this knowledge is to improve myself. And when I improve, others improve or not, that is, I cannot control it. I can share this knowledge, but studying myself is called Swa-Adhyaya. And in the Sadhana Panchakam, Shankaracharya ji says very beautifully, Vedo Nityam Adhiyatam Tad Uditam Karma Swanushthitam. So daily, Nitya means daily, the Vedas should be studied, the scriptures, and whatever instructions are given, I should bring into my life. So that is Swadhyaya. Then Tapa. Tapa here means penance. So, you know, penance means doing austerities, does not mean standing on leg for 5 years, but doing some austerity, some self-control, maybe doing some yoga, getting up early in the morning to meditate, and controlling so that I spend some time in self-improvement. And also, even if it involves some discomfort to the body, you say, oh, it's cold weather, I have to get up at 5 in the morning to meditate, doesn't matter. Anything that takes me on the spiritual path, I should do. And if there is an obstacle, I should continue. That is called titiksha, the ability to withstand even any obstacles or problems come on my spiritual path, is called tapa. So even if I have to undergo some discomfort, doesn't matter. My goal is spirituality. But tapa should not be used for wrong things. You know, like Rakshasas, like Ravana, Hiranyakashyapu, they had done so much tapas, you know, years and years of tapas. But then when they got the powers, what did they use them for? Bad. You know, Ravana made himself powerful among all the gods. Hiranyakashyapu also did that. And Bhagwan had to take avatar to destroy these Rakshasas. So tapa should not be done for wrong purpose. Whatever energy or whatever powers I get, I should use them for my benefit and for the benefit of society. Because when I do tapas, I'll be conserving energy, because the energy that is wasted outside is conserved when I do meditation, yoga, pranayama, and I don't overindulge, and then I do some amount of, you know, physical and mental sacrifice, then that energy which is consumed should be used for my benefit and for the benefit of society. And truthfulness, arjavam, straightforwardness, truthfulness. So truthfulness can only come when I am completely aligned, my body, my mind, and my speech. So what I think is what I speak is what I do, and constant. That's why in the Upanishad they say, Vang me manasi sthitaha. in the Shanti part, they say, let my mind and my speech be aligned, and then may my actions be aligned. So speaking truthful, being nice to others, and just as in our car, if the steering wheel is not aligned and the wheels are not aligned, then the car goes, you know, doesn't go straight. Not only that, your tires wear out, so we take it for an alignment, take it to the dealer. So similarly, aligning myself and then speaking what is good. Truthfulness means constant, and then speak what is good, speak what is calm. That's why they say, Bhagavan says in the Bhagavad Gita, Satyam vada, hitam vada, priyam vada, mitam vada. So speak less, but speak what is truthful, what is good for others, and what is pleasing for others. So being nice to others is also part of satyam, truthfulness. So they say, you know, who is the one we should be most nice to? You should be nice to all, but they say you should be nice to your children. We say, yeah, we'll be nice. What do you mean? Why are you saying that is most important to be nice to your children? They say, because the children will select your retirement home. So if you want to live in a good retirement home, be nice to your children. So being nice to all is satyam, is being truthful. So here we'll do the second shloka. Shloka number 2. Ahimsa satyam akrodaha.
Ahimsa satyam akrodaha.
Tyaga shantira paishunam.
Tyaga shantira paishunam.
Daya bhuteshva lo luptvam.
Daya bhuteshu lo luptvam.
Mardavam hira chapalam.
Mardavam hira chapalam.
Please mute, all chant together. Ahimsa satyam akrodaha. Tyaga shantira paishunam. Daya bhuteshvalo luptvam, mardavam hira chapalam. So Bhagavan has given a few more values. And very important is ahimsa, which lot of our saints and even Mahatma Gandhiji emphasized that. So ahimsa means hurting. So ahimsa is not hurting anybody. Satyam. Satyam means truthfulness. Then akrodaha means absence of anger. Tyagaha is sacrifice, renunciation. Shantihi. Shantihi is very important. You know, we begin our class with shanti, shanti, shanti 3 times and end with shanti. So what is this shanti? We'll talk about that. Apaishunam is absence of crookedness, not being crooked, but being straightforward, not cheating others. And daya bhuteshu, and being kind and compassionate to all beings. Bhutaha means being, daya means kindness, compassion to all. Aloluptvam. Aloluptvam means lack of covetousness. You know, I have this, but I should also have that. I want this, constant wanting and not willingness to share and trying to acquire more and more, even at the expense of others, is called loluptvam. So aloluptvam is not having covetousness. Mardavam means gentleness, being gentle. He means modesty. And achapalam means lack of excessive activity, too much activity. So ahimsa, as we said, has been emphasized in all religions, even in Christianity. They say forgive others, and that comes in kshama, that is in the 3rd shloka. But here ahimsa means not hurting others. So we think of ahimsa as physical hurt, and that is of course wrong, to hit somebody. But worse than physical hurt is hurt by speech. because physical hurt can heal. You know, you hit somebody, maybe in a few hours the pain will go away. But if we have spoken wrong kind of words or hurt somebody with our speech, that person may remember it for years, you know, especially if it is. So being very gentle with our speech, as we said, being kind, compassionate, speaking the truth and speaking what is beneficial to others. And also speech violence can be at the physical level, at the speech level, or even at the mental level, thinking negative about others, thinking wrong about others, or hurt, you know, thinking with anger about somebody, because that anger will hurt me. And then eventually that will manifest in my speech or in my action. So even negative thinking is also bad karma. So not even thinking bad about anybody, think nice about everyone. So that is ahimsa. And at the same time, not destroying plants, unnecessarily cutting trees. In fact, there was a Muniji, I might have told you about this. He even said that if as far as possible, avoid stepping on grass. If sometimes you have, you know, if there is an activity in your backyard, you have to go or put on a sprinkler or something, you have to walk. But if you have a choice where there is some grass or you take a little longer way around, avoid if you can and go around that and walk on the cement. Even if you do walk on grass, apologize. Oh, I'm sorry that, you know, I'm hurting. So not hurting, not only physically, but even intentionally. Otherwise, sometimes you cannot avoid. You're walking and you step on an insect. You don't know. You can't be looking all the time on the floor. But at least I should not have an intention to hurt anybody is ahimsa. Satya means truthfulness, always telling the truth. There is a very beautiful story in Chandogya Upanishad, where this rishi was there and he was a very brilliant teacher. And there was this young boy, his name was Satyakama. And he wanted to learn Upanishad from this rishi. And the Chandogya Upanishad is what the story is in. And so this Satyakama goes to the rishi. And the rishi always used to ask, who is your mother and father and what is your gotra? You know, that is, who is your mother, father? That is standard question. You know, what family you come from, what gotra? Not that to discriminate, but, you know, to get that information. So this boy, Satyakama, asks his mother. His mother's name was Jabala. And he says, mother, you have never told me who was my father. And I'm going to the rishi and he will ask me my father's name and my mother's name. My mother's name I know, Jabala. What was my father's name? So she said, I don't know. So he said, how do you not know? So she was serving the rishis and she didn't know when she conceived. You know, so she had a child from a rishi, but she didn't know which one, but it was a rishi putra who was in her womb. And so she says, I don't know who is your father, because I don't know when you were conceived or from whom. So you just go and tell the rishi that I am Satyakama and my mother is Jabala. My name is Satyakama Jabala. So he goes to the rishi and the rishi asks him, you know, all the students who come, it's like they are wanting to join the ashram, you know. So he's interviewing, talking to each one. So each one tells their name and their gotra and mother, father. When Satyakama's turn comes, he says, so who is your mother and father? He says, I'm Satyakama Jabala. My mother is Jabala and I don't know who my father was. And I don't know my father's name, because my mother said she does not know when she conceived. She was serving the rishis. And all the other students thought, this guy will definitely not be selected. You know, I mean, what kind of family he comes from? And there is no way, you know, he doesn't even know his father. And the rishi looked at him and said, you I will definitely take, because you told the truth. You could have just said, my father is gone or my father has passed away, but you are seeking the truth. You are wanting to learn the Upanishads. To speak the truth, you have to speak. To seek the truth, you have to speak the truth. And the fact that you are willing to risk not even getting in, but your ability to tell the truth in all circumstances is what. So for a spiritual seeker, if we are seeking truth, we have to speak the truth. Because without that, so, you know, not cheating others, not lying and so on. So always being truthful in all our dealings at all times. So if I am a spiritual seeker, that's why they say three things can never be hidden. The sun, the moon, and the truth. The sun and moon, you can see the truth sooner or later will reveal itself. No matter how much we try to hide, sooner or later, people will find out. So that's why they say, always tell the truth. Satyam is one of the very important qualities. Akrodaha. Akrodaha means lack of anger. And we find anger even in the smallest things. I'm driving and somebody cuts me off, I get angry. Or the light changes to green and for 1 second that person doesn't move, we get angry and start honking. You know, why do we need to get our mind upset? Remain calm. He's going to go. It's not that he's, or, you know, somebody's driving erratically and cutting us off. It's okay. Let him, you know, he'll get into an accident. I don't have to get my mind upset. I drive myself carefully. And we see that beautifully in Vishwamitra ji's life, the great sage Vishwamitra, when he came to take Ram and Lakshman with him. He asked Dashrath Maharaj, and they were only 15 or 16 years old. And he said, I want to take these young boys because there are a lot of Rakshasas who are, we have heard in the Ramayana, who are not allowing us to do yajnas, are destroying the yajnashala. They have killed so many rishis. They have drunk the blood of the rishis and they have broken their skulls and they, you know, they are torturing us. So I need them to protect the yajna. So Dashrath Maharaj said, I'll go with my whole army. These are only young boys, only 15 and 16. He said, no, I need them. So he says, why? He says, Vishwamitra says, I, with my tapas, I can destroy the Rakshasas. I have that much ability. All I have to do is use my tapas power, but then I have to get angry. And a rishi should not get angry. You know, rishis, dharma is not to get angry, but these boys are kshatriyas. And kshatriya dharma is to protect those who are suffering. And these two will be under my care. I will educate them, I will teach them, and I guarantee you no harm will come to them. So here we see that Vishwamitra could easily have destroyed the Rakshasas, but he said, Ram and Lakshman, they will get glory that they destroyed all the Rakshasas, they did their dharma, even though they were only 15 and 16. So here we see how the Rishi practiced lack of anger. Then Tyaga is sacrifice. So sacrifice means renunciation. We chant, you know, na karmana, na prajaya, dhane na tyage naike. So if you want spiritual success, you cannot do it by actions. Yes, puja and all will help, but will not give you that. No, somebody else cannot get you an enlightenment, or you cannot buy enlightenment, you know, by donating. Yeah, all those things will help, but ultimately you have to renounce. As long as you are holding on to worldly things, you cannot hold on to the feet of the Lord. So slowly detaching from worldly things and attaching to God is called tyaga, renunciation. Shanti means peace. And how do we get shanti? By giving up the desire for action. Yogi karma phalam tyaktva shanti upaiti nashtakim. So one who gives up this desire for selfish activities only can develop peace. So again, here comes tyaga and not working for myself, not working selfishly, working for society. When I'm doing work for society, whether it's success or failure, doesn't matter, because it's God's work. Let him, you know, I'm doing his work, success or failure goes to him. And second is jnanam. Jnanam labdhva param shantim. So when I have the right knowledge that I am Satchidanand Swarup, I am that eternal consciousness, then why would I get disturbed? Even something happens to the body and to the mind. So that's why shanti is through knowledge and through giving up selfish desires. Apaishunam. Apaishunam means not talking bad about others. So using the tongue to praise others, to do the right thing, to speak kindly, to speak well. So that is, that's why they say not finding faults in others. Apaishunam means not finding faults in others and not agitating others by our speech. That's why Bhagavan says in the 12th chapter, Yasma no dvijate lokaha, loka no dvijate chayaha. So that is called apaishunam, not disturbing others with our speech. Then daya bhuteshu, being kind to all beings. That can only come when I see the oneness. That's why Bhagavan in Bhagavad Gita, Atmapyena sarvatra samam pasyati yorjuna sukham va yadi va dukham sa yogi paramo matah. So one who sees himself in all, Atmapyena, as me, everybody is me, and I am in all and they are in me, then where is the joy and the sorrow? Such a person is said to be a true yogi. And that's what we find in the lives of great saints, you know, where they spontaneously have love for all. They have kindness in the speech. So daya. So they are kind and compassionate to all because they see oneness. Aloluptva means not desiring more than what I deserve. What I deserve, I get, and then being content with that, I work hard, and whatever I deserve, I got. Bhagavan, I don't need more. I don't need to get something that belongs to others, because everything belongs to Bhagavan, and I am content. So santushta satatam yogi, Bhagavan says when he gives the values in the 12th chapter, that one who is always content. Thank you, God, for whatever you have given. Does not mean you don't work hard. You work hard at the end of the day, whatever wages you get, be thankful and be grateful and share with others. So aloluptva means not desiring more than what I deserve, and not coveting others' wealth, others' things. Then mardavam. Mardavam is gentleness. You know, living a life gently, softly, calmly. And we find that gentleness in general is more, I mean, of course, men can be gentle too, but generally women have more a quality of gentleness than men, you know, by nature. That's why Sri Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavat, when he's sending the gopas, you know, the young boys to get some food and all, he says, go to the gopis, don't go to their husbands. Inke hridaya navanita samana. These gopis are so gentle, their heart is like butter. So when you go and ask them, it will easily melt. So go and ask them, and that's how you. So the point is that, again, it's not trying to say that men cannot be, but the idea is that I should practice gentleness. I should be kind, compassionate, and be gentle with others, not be rough, not be harsh, not be hateful. And that is mardavam. He means modesty. Modesty means one is dressed modestly, not show off. Modesty also means knowing my limits, that this is what I should do, this is what I should not do. So living a life within my limits, you know, of course, we know while we are driving, you are supposed to drive within the speed limit. But also, dharma, spirituality has given us limits of how to live. They call that 10 commandments in Christianity, in Buddhism, the Eightfold Path, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, all these values that have been given. So living within the limits of these values is called hihi, that is modesty, and not showing off too much. Then a chapalam means overactivity. You know, we find some people overactive in the, you know, they won't be able to sit quiet. Even you sit there, tell them sit for meditation, after 5 minutes they get up. Or if they are supposed to do a work, their hands are always shaking, their eyes, if you're looking at them, their eyes are, you know, very, very overactive eyes looking here and there. And where does that come from? The mind being overactive. So if my mind is overactive, the person is sitting, he'll unnecessarily move his hands, move his legs, you know, just shake his leg without reason, shake his hands. So that comes from overactivity in the mind leads to overactivity in the body. So a chapalam is not being excessively active, unnecessarily doing, and conserving. That's why in the yoga shastra, you know, they have these 8 yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. This ashtanga yoga is there. So the first two are yama and niyama. Yama means control of the body and the mind, and niyama is living within the rules and how to deal with others. So these two are the first two. So if you want to reach samadhi, first you do these two, live a life of self-control and learn how to deal with others and live within the rules. Then, of course, asana, pranayama also teaches us, because when you do asanas, when you do the physical exercises in the right way, you know, carefully, you control the body and then you move, and the same thing, you control your breath. Then that also reduces mental activity. To quieten the mind, breath is the very important means. So yama, niyama, asana, pranayama. So doing exercises and controlling the breath helps in controlling the mind, and reducing mental activity will reduce physical activity. Then what is the 5th and 6th? Pratyahara and dharana. Pratyahara means withdrawing from the world, and dharana is holding on to the higher. So as I withdraw from the world, so they say, don't only just withdraw, but fill your mind with good thoughts and attach to the higher, and dharana, and firm determination that this is what my goal of life is. Then when you sit for meditation, having practiced all this yama, niyama, asana, pranayam, pratyahara, dharana, then that person's meditation. So it does not mean that I don't start meditation till I have developed all 6. But as I develop them, my meditation will get better. And as I meditate more, my mind will become calmer, will be under my control. And with a calm mind, I am able to do my activities much better. So that's why they say this 8-fold step. And then the last, when I do all this and do practice dhyana, then samadhi. Samadhi is merger, where I become one with God. I and God are not separate. There is only oneness, complete abidance in that truth, in that highest knowledge. So that's why they say the yama and niyama are the first two steps, which is same as a chapalam, overactivity, unnecessarily talking too much, unnecessarily, you know, going here and there. If I have extra time, chalo idhar chalte hain, udhar chalte hain. No, if I have time, extra time, let me spend that in doing some study or doing some puja or some japa or some meditation, or just sit and chant the name of the Lord. I take a mala and just do Om Namah Shivaya, or, you know, do some breathing, some pranayama. So what happens is that this energy, we all have the same amount of energy. And if we waste it in external pursuits, then that energy gets dissipated. But if we live a life of self-control, and energy is, you know, there's a law of conservation of energy. Energy cannot be created, cannot be destroyed. Energy is there. And it is up to us how to utilize the energy. I can use it for my own benefit and for the benefit of society, or I can use it to harm others, which we see in a lot of these dictators, and you know, they use all their power to destroy other countries or even their own country people. You know, they persecute them and all. So that's why they say, so when we practice these values, as we can just quickly go over, abhayam is fearlessness, sattva samshuddhi, purity of mind, jnana yoga vyavasthitihi, abidance in the knowledge and practicing that, dana is charity, dhamma is self-control of the senses, yajna is sacrifice, doing rituals and doing prayers. Swadhyaya is self-study, study myself to improve, remove my faults and to progress spiritually. Tapa is austerity, doing some amount of penance so that I do that with the, like fasting, you know, fasting or, you know, giving up certain things. Say for 1 year, I've taken anushthanam, I won't do this or that. So that is tapa, and arjavam is straightforwardness in whatever I think, speak and do is the same. And then in shloka number 2, ahimsa is non-violence at the mental level, speech level and physical level, not hurting any beings. Satyam is truth. We heard the story of Satyakama, who even risked everything to tell the truth. Akrodha, lack of anger. Tyaga is renunciation, renouncing the lower to get the higher. Shantihi is peace. And we found out how to get peace by not being attached to things. And apaishunam, using my tongue for good, not to backbite or talk evil about others. Daya bhuteshu, compassion for all beings. Alolutvam, not over acquiring, coveting others' things, that let this also be mine, that also be mine. Mardavam is gentleness. He is modesty. Modesty in all my behavior. And achapalam is lack of excessive activity. So this will be the last class. Next week, we'll have graduation in person at the mission. And the graduating seniors will be talking. If you want to go there, or if you have any children or grandchildren, they will be graduating. And then we will not have any more Gita class till July 31st. On Sunday, July 31st, Bhagavad Gita will start again and will continue 16th chapter. And we'll, for first three classes will be on Zoom, but from August 21, when Bal Vihar reopens, then classes will be in person. But those who are out of town, we will do Zoom broadcast. But if you are living in town, please join us in person. But that won't be till August 21st. So you can make a note, but I'll send a message on the WhatsApp also. So July 31st is when the Bhagavad Gita class will start again on Zoom. And then August 21st will be in person. So as I said in the beginning of the class, we have 2 or 2.5 months. Please try to revise all the shlokas of the 15 chapters. Read Puja Gurudev's commentary if you have. If not, please try to get it. This book is very good. This will help us to study, because it has a word by word meaning, the green book. If you don't have it, you can pick it up from the mission or you can order it online. So this, the Bhagavad Gita by Swami Chinmayananda, has the word by word meaning. Most of you have it. If you don't have it, I would suggest you get it, because Gurudev's commentary is beautiful. And the word by word meaning, at least I studied Sanskrit through Bhagavad Gita, through the word by word meaning. So it helps us to understand the shlokas better. We have a few minutes if anybody has any questions or comments about these values. Yeah, Carrie, go ahead.
I just had a question. The word antakarana.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could, I don't know, I looked it up, it was like conscience. Is that how?
No. Antakarana means inner instruments. So there are the outer instruments like hands, feet, speech, and hands, feet. Those are outer instruments. Bahya karana. Antakarana means inner instruments. So the mana, buddhi, chit, ahankar. Mind, intellect, memory, and ego. Those are the antakarana. So antakarana means the inner instruments. The mind, intellect, memory, and ego. Mana, buddhi, chit, ahankar.
Thank you.
Anything else? Satish Bhai, anything you would like to add?
No, these are very profound qualities that we aspire to have. I've been studying Bhagavad Gita for many years on my own, and before I started studying Vedanta, all these qualities, these devilish qualities in this chapter, I was thinking, you know, I am not that person. You know, it was like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and all that. Those are the people who have these qualities. But now that I study this, it's like a lot of qualities are in myself. Right. You know, so it's very awakening thing. You know, it's very profound. I think it's very good. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's true. And when we study these asuri quality sampat, we will realize that some of these we have. You know, we may not know that, but to some extent we have all of them. That's why I said in the beginning that we are a mixture of the divine, and so the idea is to increase divine and reduce. Anybody else? Jagu, anything you would like to add? Can unmute.
I realize I'm very unrestless person. You know, my mind, I want to do this, I want to do this. So this kind of teaches you that what I need to improve, to focus more, you know, more gnanam, you know. Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Yeah.
It gives you a picture, okay, what you need to do to improve yourself. Yes. Thank you.
Satish Bhai, you have anything else you would like to add? I think you are muted. Satish Bhai, you are muted. You can unmute.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Now we can hear, yes.
Okay. So I had a question regarding that word achapalam. Does that also include the preoccupation of mind? Like, because I'm studying right now with you, and my mind is somewhere else, meaning I have either, my mind is either in the past or in the future, but not in the present. So does that achapalam also include that?
Yes.
Thank you.
So unnecessary activity of the mind, overactivity of the mind not able to focus on one. Yeah, all that is part of achapalam. But this also comes in other things, you know, like in dhyana, in other places also this value comes, you know. But so I think achapalam would be included in that. Yes, definitely.
Correct. Well, thank you for clarification.
Thank you.
And thanks for everything. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Carrie.
I just wanted to say, you know, the very first quality of a yam, I saw fearlessness. I saw a book, and I never even read the book, but I like the title. It was called Feel. It was called Feel the Fear. Mm-hmm. Do it anyway. And I just think you don't even have to read the book. That just says whatever's inside. That says everything.
Right.
Feel the fear. Do it anyway.
Yes. And Gurudev says in his commentary, please read Gurudev's commentary very nicely. He says they are all connected. Fearlessness will lead to purity of mind, to right knowledge. So all of these values are very connected. It's not Bhagwan has not just thrown them at us, but it is very systematically connected. So thank you. We'll do the aarti now. Om natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kuto yam agnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. Boliye Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki jai. Arati Shri Chinmaya Satguru ki Devya Rupa Murati Karuna ki Arati Satguru ki Charno mein unke shanti samaye Sharnagat ki bhranti mitaye Paap taap santaap haran ki Arati Shri Chinmaya Satguru ki Arati Satguru ki Ved Upanishad Gita ko gaya Dharma Sanatan phir se jagaya Shuddha Niti Priti Shankar ki Arati Shri Chinmaya Satguru ki Arati Satguru ki Siddha Bari ki Tapo Bhumi me Nitya Biraje Guru Hamare Bhakt Hriday Anand Shotra ki Arati Shri Chinmaya Satguru ki Arati Satguru ki Arati Satguru Boliye Shri Satgurnath Maharaj ki Jai. Everybody can please take the aarti. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyatmanava prakrite svabhavat karomi adyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayami narayanayeti samarpayami sarve bhavantu sukhinah sarve santu niramayah sarve bhadrani pashyantu ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet om asato ma satgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityorma amritam gamaya om shanti shanti shantihi Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Thank you very much. Hari Om.